The birth control device called Norplant has been available in this country since February of 1991 and has been controversial from the beginning. Six tubes the size of matchsticks are surgically inserted under a woman's skin. The tubes release a hormone, the same one that's in birth control pills, that can prevent pregnancy for 5 years. Recently, charges have been raised by women in this country that removing the device can be painful and difficult.
In some developing countries, Norplant has sparked battles between researchers and feminists over how contraceptives are developed and tested. Many feminists are suspicious of high-tech hormonal birth control methods and charge that Norplant's inventors care more about controlling population than helping women. As part of our series, Searching for Solutions, leading up to the United Nations Population Conference in Cairo next month, we have this story about the controversy over Norplant, produced by Cecilia Weissman and reported by Nancy Pastero.
Wayne Barden remembers. It was 15 years ago. He was sitting in a boardroom in New York with a group of research colleagues looking at a graph projected onto a screen.
And it indicated that Norplant only failed in one woman per thousand during the first 2 years of use. There was no other hormonal contraceptive that even came close to that low a failure rate. And that was quite exciting. Everyone was rather stunned by the results, and everyone just fell silent.
After years of clinical trials in 8 countries, ranging from the Dominican Republic to the United States, the Population Council, a nonprofit organization which develops birth control methods, had finally come up with a long-acting contraceptive that could be put in place and forgotten. The researchers knew some women would experience side effects. Norplant's main ingredient, levonorgestrel, a synthetic form of the hormone progesterone, can cause irregular menstrual bleeding, weight gain, and headaches. But the researchers concluded these weren't severe enough to outweigh the benefits.
So for some people, particularly those who want long-term contraception and those who have had problems with other contraceptives, this is a wonderful method. It's a wonderful alternative for them.
The next step was for individual countries to carry out their own trials before introducing Norplant. Norplant tubules were shipped off to 17 countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Brazil was one of them.
We tried to make the Norplant study as a model of how clinical studies, and particularly studies on contraceptives, should be done in a country like Brazil.
Dr. Aníbal Faúndes coordinated the pre-introductory trials in Brazil that began in 1984. He says he followed all the appropriate procedures. He registered the trials with the Ministry of Health, invited the health officials to preliminary meetings, and set up strict guidelines.
And never before and never after, another study has been done with the same care.
But things didn't turn out as Dr. Faúndes planned. When feminists in Brazil got wind of the trials, they started a campaign to denounce what they saw as a dangerous hormonal contraceptive. At their urging, women involved in the trials told their stories to legislators. One such woman is Sonia, not her real name.
It sounds so easy. You just put a tube in your arm. My friend said, why don't you do it too? So I went to the clinic the next day to have it done.
Sonia says no one told her she was part of a trial or about the potential side effects of Norplant. The only thing she remembers clearly is being told that the tubes had to stay in place for 5 years.
Immediately after I got the implant, I started to gain weight. 2 months later, I had become obese, and I started feeling very anxious. I had constant headaches, and I was never able to lose the weight that I'd gained.
These were the kinds of side effects that researchers had predicted a small number of women would experience. But to Sonia, they were devastating. She went to the clinic to get the Norplant removed, but the doctor, she says, refused to take it out. Sonia says it was only after her husband threatened them that the doctors agreed to remove the Norplant.
When a woman uses Norplant, she is on the hands, let's put it that way, of the provider. She is quite defenseless. This is a method over which she has no control at all.
Jacqueline Pitangui says that lack of control was one of the main reasons why she and other feminists wanted to stop the introduction of Norplant. They were already suspicious of contraceptive research. For years, the military government had allowed foreign-funded research to be carried out on Brazilian women, with little or no oversight of the procedures. And now, with the dictatorship at an end, feminists were determined to prove a point with Norplant. Jacqueline Pitangui.
In taking this stand against Norplant, women were taking a stand not only against the method specifically, but also against the way that the experiment was being conducted. Using women and not having her fully informed of what's happening.
And Pitangui says that's the result of what she considers an arrogant first world point of view that goes something like this.
Oh, we have to cut down the population growth in Brazil or in Nigeria or in India because women have too many children, too much children. It's impossible. This is dangerous to us here in Mississippi or whatever, New York. And then all of a sudden, this category, women, loses its humanity. It's not human people anymore. It's something over there that you have to control.
A year and a half into the trials, a government oversight committee in Brazil found irregularities in the way the Norplant trials were being conducted. Dr. Faunde's researchers, their report claimed, had implanted the drug into more women than their permit allowed and had not followed the informed consent requirements closely enough. So under pressure from feminists, the health ministry stopped the trials completely, and Norplant was never approved for use in Brazil.
I think it's a pity.
Dr. Faunde says the decision was made for political, not medical reasons. In his follow-up studies, he found that 8 out of 10 women said they were satisfied with Norplant and would use it again. So, he says, the big losers are the women of Brazil, who often turn to sterilization because so few contraceptive choices are available.
If Norplant were available, a number of young women who are presently being sterilized could use an alternative method that is almost as effective and also lasts for a long period of time, but is fully reversible.
Meanwhile, Norplant has been approved in 39 countries, although only a small number of women have chosen to use it. Trials continue in other countries, including India, where both feminists and researchers have learned from the experience in Brazil. This medical college in northern India is one of several dozen where Norplant trials are underway. The Indian government is anxious to find new ways to bring down birth rates, but researchers are bending over backwards to be careful about how trials are carried out. In fact, Dr. Aníbal Faúndes from Brazil says he's been advising them to do screening and counseling and to have doctors available to remove the implants as soon as the patients request it.
तो आपके कितने बच्चे हैं?
एक लड़की है.
एक लड़की है. कितनी बड़ी?
2 साल की.
2 साल की है. आप अभी बच्चा नहीं चाह रही हैं?
Dr. Tendravati, the head of trials at this hospital, says Norplant holds great potential for Indian women.
Because it is a one-time procedure for them. You know, you once put in and then you forget for 4 to 5 years. We are also sure that it is a very effective method, and the client is also happy that they don't have to sort of run around and get counseling. Because one thing you would accept, understand that they are not very literate people. They would not be able to remember that they have to take pills every day.
But feminists here have been in touch with women like Jacqueline Pitangui of Brazil and have begun their own campaign against Norplant. Priti Kirbut of the Delhi-based women's group Jaguri says a provider-dependent method like Norplant just isn't safe for women in India.
You're supposed to have a very good health checkup before you actually use Norplant if you have any existing health problems. Norplant is not safe. And how many rural areas actually have a good health system where you can check these things? You don't. It might be a very good thing for developed countries. It might be very good for Europe or North America, but it's not really ideal for India.
She argues that it doesn't make sense for the Indian government to spend so much on Norplant when there are other safer methods, like diaphragms or condoms, that don't require so much medical follow-up. Kirbut doesn't think feminists will be able to stop the trials, so they're trying to warn women, especially rural women, about the dangers of Norplant. At a remote village in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh, 15 women sit on straw mats in the patio of a bright blue mud hut. One woman hands out mugs of hot buffalo milk and chunks of raw sugar. This is a weekly meeting of a village women's group. They say they've heard all about Norplant from the feminists in New Delhi who were part of their network. And these village women plan to spread the word.
We have been telling everybody about Norplant. The doctors say it is easier, so women will want to use it, but we are telling everybody not to get it.
Soon the Indian government will decide whether or not to approve Norplant for general use. Whatever the outcome there, the questions surrounding Norplant reflect a deeper debate between women's rights activists and population planners. Joan Dunlop, president of the International Women's Health Coalition, says women's rights groups will continue to demand a voice in determining what contraceptive methods are appropriate.
I think that the issue is one of whether or not women are empowered by this form of fertility control. And that depends upon how careful the delivery of this service is, how caring for the woman, and how open are the discussions about the side effects or the consequences or the availability of choices.
In the past several years, population planners at organizations such as the Population Council say they've begun to consult feminists, bringing them into discussions at the beginning, when contraceptive methods are being developed, to get their input. One thing both sides agree on is that no contraceptive method is perfect. The important thing, they say, is to provide as wide a range of contraceptive options as is possible, so that women from different cultures and at different stages in their lives can find the best method for their needs.
I think what has been learned on both sides is that one ought to listen to one another.
Joan Dunlop.
I just hope and pray that that listening and that not just opportunity to dialogue, but that necessity to dialogue remains a reality. And that's the challenge, and that's the question.
With Cecilia Weissman, this is Nancy Postero reporting.